Thank you. Lord bless you. You love the Lord? It's good to serve the Lord. This is the graduation class. We're not graduating today, but well, no, I'm not. I'm not. I mean, the Lord can graduate us any time, but the thing about it, when we graduate from this class, we go right on to be with the Lamb, and we get to wait for the rest of the class to come. Amen? It's good to serve the Lord. It really is. Every spring, I try to do a ministry, especially for newer believers, that has to do with what the Bible calls first fruits, and you just happen to be on this one, so we'll be talking about it today. I want to share two things with you real quick before I read my text about your children. Number one, every child in every Christian home should have their own Bible. You ought to spend a little money to give a Bible from Daddy and Mama right in the Bible for these children, and creating them a love for the Bible, and get them to bring that Bible to church with them. It's a good investment. It's going to be one of the best investments you ever made. And do it when they're quite young. I mean, they don't even have to be able to read yet. Just something they can put in their hand when they're big enough to hold a Bible in their hand. Get them a little Bible. You can get these little New Testament, little blue ones, a little pink one for the boy and the girl. Get a little older, they're going to need a full Bible. But buy your children a Bible. I know it's a lot of our children. I don't see them with the Bible, but I want to encourage you to make sure your children all have their own personal Bible. And it's a good investment, and you ought to invest in good tools, even for yourself, folks. That's the first thing. Second thing is that you ought to teach your children about first fruits. It's not just for the pastor to teach this, but you ought to teach your children about first fruits and teach them what first fruits is all about. And don't teach them that it's an issue of God needing your money, or the preacher needing your money, or the church needing your money. If you're doing that, then you're missing everything. You're missing the whole program of first fruit. It's about the obedience of love. First fruits is considered a sacrifice of worship and a sacrifice of love. And you do this out of faith because you love the Lord and you want to honor the Lord. God spoke through the prophet, and he said, "Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed." Let's read our text in Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse number 38. Do you have it? In his teaching, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and chief seats in the synagogues, and places of honor at banquet, who devour widows' houses, and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury, and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned, all that she had to live on." One reason that Christians find holes in their pockets and their blessing depleted, and what looks like a blessing is coming, all of a sudden it disappears, you wonder what happened to it. The primary reason is because they fail to honor God in a way that God tells us to honor Him. Can you say amen? And I think it's very important that we learn how to do that. And I'm always a little reluctant to teach in this area. I have people ask me to teach in this area. I'm always a little reluctant because I feel like you ought to know. And I think that life itself teaches us that when we honor the Lord, we will be blessed in very special ways. If we fail to honor Him, I don't care what your excuses are, you're going to have a poverty. You're going to live in a poverty syndrome. Poverty attitude, poverty syndrome. And the things that you touch your hand to, you'll always be wrestling them, trying to make them work. Had you honored God to begin with, whatever you put your hand to would be blessed. Amen? Does it make sense? Well, it makes an awful lot of sense. And the point I want to make in our study today is that what you do with your money says more about your heart than anything else in life. It's because you're dealing with a trust factor. So what I want to do in our ministry, we're going to talk about giving from the heart. And let's say a prayer. Can you pray with me? Let's say a prayer and let's ask the Lord to examine our hearts. Maybe this is something today, not just the newer believers, but maybe you've gotten in a habit of not doing things from your heart. Maybe it's honoring God out of your surplus and setting aside a specific amount, and you're not really first fruit anymore. Let's pray about it, okay? And pray to ask the Lord to help me to teach this in a proper way. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give honor to you. We thank you, we love you, and want to do your will in all things, Lord. And we know that we are in the covenant of Christ, which is a covenant of the heart, Lord, that you do write in our hearts your eternal laws and your love and faith. Help me to minister in the proper way the teaching today, Lord, and so that it will settle upon our hearts for all of the believers, for the new believers, for those who need more instruction in this area, and for those of us maybe who have slack areas in this, Lord, where we may need to repent and retake ground. Father, I want to honor you now. Again, in the name of Jesus, amen. If you want to take notes, the back of your bulletin is a place where you can take notes. Let me tell you ahead of time where we're going to go. I like to always do this. We're just going to talk about honoring the Lord. Number one, we'll talk about honoring the Lord. And then, secondly, we'll talk about the sacrifice of faith and love. And then, thirdly, we'll talk about where is my heart. Jesus says something about treasures. He said something about your finances that relate to your heart. So let's begin with this. How many folks really want to honor the Lord? How many want to dishonor Him? Oh, I didn't see any hand. Okay. 100%. 100%. Everybody wants to honor the Lord. Well, you ever wonder why the New Testament is so small in comparison to the Old Testament? Well, there's a reason for that. First of all, the New Testament, its primary design is to set forth the new covenant. And the Old Testament, which is mainly the law of Moses and the prophets and David and so forth, it contains shadows that were going to be replaced by realities. So you had types, you had shadows, but you had the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second reason that the New Testament is so much smaller is that you don't need to rewrite truth. The Bible of the early church was, they didn't have a New Testament. They knew the laws of God never changed. They knew the principles of righteousness never changed. They knew the attitudes of holiness never changed. So they were considered a holy people. So they believed that all that was written about all we needed to know about the new covenant actually was hidden in the prophets, and the apostles would take those writings with what Jesus had done and then explain them to us in the apostolic memoirs. And so you didn't have to add new truth. The old truths are going to never change. Can you say amen? When we understand that, it gives you an appreciation for what we call the Old Testament. To the early Jewish Christian, the Old Testament was the New Testament. Can you say amen? Paul's writings were some of the earliest. Paul's writings are earlier than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His are the earliest writings of the New Covenant. And then we have the apostles. The other apostles began to put their writings together. And so we had something to guide us. And the primary guidance is to understand that the law of Moses is no longer in effect. That the law of Moses had been replaced by the covenant of Christ. And in the new covenant, we have entered into His rest. We have the Shabbat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can set aside our days of worship, whatever pleases us. But the fact is, we have entered into His rest. We are in the rest of the Lord. We are in a new creation. But then we have all these things that God has said in the Old Testament. And what the Holy Spirit does is He takes these eternal principles, these eternal laws, and He begins inscribing them into the heart of a child of God. This is why it's so important for us to hear teaching, so important for us to study the Old Testament, to study the Scriptures. And the idea of sowing and reaping is actually an eternal law. It's always been a law. It will always be a law. So when Paul said, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. He was saying that in the context was in honoring the Lord. That's in the book of Galatians. He's talking about how you honor the Lord. So the issue of honor has always been written throughout the Bible. The first time you actually see it is in the Garden of Eden. When God created the garden, planted all kinds of trees and fruit trees and so forth in the garden, and He told Adam to take care, to maintain all of the garden. There was one tree that belonged to God. He said, now you don't eat from that tree. I want you to honor me. I want you to love me. I want you to have faith in me. Do not eat from that tree. That is my tree. You understand? So we're looking at a principle in the garden about honoring the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. Well, you see that principle passing through the Scriptures into what's called first fruits. That the first fruits always belong to the Lord. And that's not just Old Testament, folks. That is throughout the Bible. That is throughout creation. And that in the offering of first fruits, it gives us a place, a very wonderful place to worship God, to honor God, to show Him that we love Him, to show Him that we have faith in Him, to show Him that we put Him first. The word first doesn't mean what's left over if there's something or out of your surplus. It means the first of all that comes into your home. Amen or oh me? Now go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 8. We have a few scriptures to study today, but follow with me. Where he talks about the covenant, the new covenant, and about God writing some things into our heart, writing some things into our life. And by the way, if I were to ask for testimonies from this congregation, I could guarantee you, because I know a lot of your testimonies, that when you discovered the issue of first fruits and began to do it, it literally changed your life. I mean, folks could give a testimony that when you found that out and you began honoring God, something happened in your life that spoke of particular blessing directed to you. It's biblical. Well, listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 10. I'm going to break in on something that's being quoted from the former writings of the prophets. But verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." When he said a new covenant, he had made the first obsolete. The law of Moses is obsolete. That's what he's talking about. They were in a transitional period. This was written just before the destruction of the temple, which would remove any visible elements, remnants of the law of Moses, because that law was not functional anymore, because the greater sacrifice had come, a new priesthood had come. And so the first, it was obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to disappear. So don't get wrapped up in the law of Moses as far as the ritual size of it. And all the trappings of it. Those things were designed, all the tabernacle, all the sacrifices were designed to point to one reality. And that reality is Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus, you have the reality. But if you'll notice, it said here in this particular portion that God's going to do four things, and especially. Number one, He's going to write, the Holy Spirit is going to write in our heart these laws. He's going to put in your heart what you need to be and what you ought to be doing. How many of you folks know that this is true? How many folks know when you don't do what you know is right, it doesn't feel too good? It feels icky inside here, right? And usually the thing we argue and complain against is the thing we're not doing. Now forgive me, folks. I never have any backlash from anybody that's a first fruit giver or a tither or whatever. I always get it from those that don't want to do it. You don't hear from anybody else. So He said he's going to write these laws in our heart. Number two, we're all going to know Him personally. That is new covenant. Every person in the new covenant knows the Lord God Almighty in a personal way. His name is Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing. They're all going to know Him personally. Number three, this covenant is going to be full of mercy. And sin is forgiven. And I won't remember your sin. Aren't you so glad that His mercies are new every morning? and that our sins are cast from us as far as the east is from the west, and we have a covenant of great grace and great mercy. So he said, this is a wonderful covenant I'm going to give you. And then the fourth thing he said is that the old one is passing away. This is what Paul was talking about. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. New things have come. The old things have passed away. All these things are from God. He has reconciled us to Himself in His Son. So you have all this in this one little portion of Scripture. So, and I think the key to this is that God doesn't want you doing things simply out of duty, out of obligation, because there's a law, or because the preacher might suspect I'm not doing it, which I don't. Listen, folks, I could care. You do. It's not that I don't care. I do care. But I don't go around examining folks. I don't have to. I can look at your life. You're examining yourself. You don't do it out of command or duty. That shouldn't be the primary motive. You ought to do it out of love, out of faith, and because you want to honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Honor is always going to be the key in everything that we're going to do. And one of the clearest teachings we have on first fruits, and I want you to see it because it's found in what's called the wisdom literature. If you go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to explain something to you about wisdom literature. Wisdom literature applies to every age. And remember that Jesus is called the wisdom of God and the power of God, right? So wisdom, the things you read in the book of Proverbs, that's why you can read the book of Proverbs today. It just ministers to your heart, ministers to your life, because God's laying out these eternal laws that are, and if you want wisdom, ask of God. He'll give it to you liberally, right? And Jesus is called the wisdom of God. Here it explains to you what wisdom will do in your life and how you're to function in this role of wisdom. Now, if you look at Proverbs 3, I'm going to read verse number 5 through 12, but listen with your heart. Notice how it starts. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your understanding and do not lean to your heart. Oh, I didn't say that. Do you see it? Trust in the Lord when you don't understand it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. How many of you folks know we get in trouble every time we lean to our understanding, trying to figure things out and how to do it, you know, how to best do it, because we know better than God. You know, after all, if we'd have been around when He created the world, we could have given Him some advice. You know, God. My wife says when God said, let there be light, He asked me to turn on the switch, and I am not that old, folks. But... it's because she loves me. My wife loves me. Don't you love the Lord? Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, gut, lean, your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own understanding. Don't be the answer man for everything, on everything. Don't look at yourself as being terribly wise, folks. Listen, His word will be true to you. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. If you turn away from evil, you'll get healing and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first. You ought to underline that word first, or circle it, or do something with it. From the first of all, you ought to underline that, circle that word all. First all. First of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. He's going to discipline you in this area, in all of these areas, folks. Listen, because He loves you. He wants to train you and teach you as a son and as a daughter. I tried, and I have, my children very young in life. We began very early. Nathan was born into a preacher's home. That's all he's ever known. And we bought their Bibles early and put it in their hands when they were quite young and tried to teach them the ways of the Lord and expected it of them. And they didn't miss church. Whenever the church door opened, they were in church with Mom and Daddy. They couldn't sit any further back, I think, than there was either the third or the fifth row. Guess which row they sat on? The third or the fifth row, whatever it was. But I mean, they needed to trust Daddy. They needed to know that Daddy loved the Lord. Daddy was a man of righteousness. Daddy was doing the best he could to learn the way of the Lord and teach it to my sons. To my daughter eventually. Everyone whom the Lord loves, what does He do? He reproves. He's going to correct your life, even as a father corrects a son in whom he delights. Now, why is that scripture important? Because this is quoted. This is directly quoted in the book of Hebrews. And so we have these issues, but what I want you to notice real quickly, how verse 5 tells you how it begins. How does verse 5 begin? Trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Now, these little scriptures that we read are chocked full of spiritual truth. Then if you want your path straight, what do you do? Verse 6, if you want your path to be straight, in all your ways acknowledge Him. If you're in a situation you can't acknowledge Him, you ought not to be in it. If you're doing something you can't acknowledge the Lord, that you'd be embarrassed around the people to acknowledge the Lord, you're not in the right thing. You're not doing the right thing. You ought to be able to acknowledge Him in everything you do because you are a testifier. You are a confessor of Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. You belong to the tribe of the anointed people of God. And you ought to be able to confess Him. So it tells you what to do. If you want healing for your body, if you want refreshment for your bones, what does it tell you to do? Verse 7. Well, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. But look at this next little line. Turn away from evil. Many problems with some of God's own people is that they're not turning away from evil. They're entertaining it. It's forming attitudes in their minds, in their life. And what's happening is that their physical life is reflecting their spiritual life. Now, I don't mean to be hard in this area, folks, but there is a connection. There's a strong connection in many ways between what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your body. Wisdom teaches that, and wisdom is Jesus. He's trying to teach us something. This is why, if you'll pass over to Proverbs 4 and listen to verse number 22. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. This is wisdom speaking. This is the Lord. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of what? Of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And what's the rest of that statement? And health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs, the issues, the forces, the determinations of life is going to come from your heart. This is why when Jesus describes a spiritual man in the New Testament, a spiritual woman, a new covenant person, He says, from your innermost being, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, not as religion necessarily says, folks, there's a lot of difference between what the Bible says and what men sometimes put their interpretations on what the Bible says. Believe on me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being, your heart, your spirit, the inner man of your life, shall flow rivers of living water. Well, the living water affects everything around you. It affects those that are around you. It affects yourself. It affects your own life. Say amen? So this is the issue about healing. You know, I'm not trying to say that every kind of problem we have in our lives is due to us chasing after evil, but He's giving you something here to work with. And then if you want your life to be blessed, you want to walk in the blessing of the Lord, He gives you clear instructions. Look at verse number 9. Again, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. That's a quality decision to have to do that, folks. And make sure that you're doing it. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. So here we have instruction. Who's talking to us? Wisdom. Who is wisdom? Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. He is the power of God. So we have these wonderful instructions given to us. One thing I want you to keep in mind, it's not a matter of trying to get rich, folks. Riches will never satisfy. Any child of God will tell you, thank God for blessings. But that in itself is not your satisfaction. That is not what your life is about. And that is not your enjoyment in life. Your enjoyment in life is Jesus Christ. But the blessing of the Lord belonged to the covenant of Christ, and God wants us to be able to walk in His blessing. So it's a matter of honor. God wants His people to honor Him. We honor Him with the first fruits. You ever notice how the book of Malachi closes? It mentions, will a man rob God? Well, listen, He doesn't need your money. What you robbing Him of? You're robbing Him of His honor. You're robbing Him of His glory. You're robbing Him of His ability to shine in your life in a way that you are particularly and specially blessed. And God wants you. So you are the testimony of the Lord. If people look on your life and you're living like a beggar, what I mean, you have the attitude of a beggar. You're always in need. And you're always having problems. What kind of an attraction is that to anybody? But when people look on your life and they see this joyful attitude and they see that God does meet your need, it's not status in society, not how much money you've got, folks. It matters that God flows into your life, God's blessing what you have. And people can see that and they wonder, where is that coming from? It's coming from the Lord of heaven. He's honoring you because you are honoring Him. Amen? Okay, so this is the issue of honoring the Lord. Now let's come to the second place in our ministry today and talk about the sacrifice, the sacrifice of faith and love. Now, is first fruits a sacrifice? In the Bible, it is a sacrifice. I don't need to take time and do all this. If you ever want to just go study first fruits and what's called tithing in other places, go study it under the law. You'll find it's always coupled with sacrifices. Brings thus and thus and thus and thus to the temple or to the tabernacle, whatever it may be. And you'll notice first fruits is always considered a sacrifice for the Lord. And first fruits, I spoke to you here a couple of Sundays ago, that Jesus Christ is called first fruits from the dead, the resurrection. And that's a sacrifice. He was God's sacrifice. For God so loved the world. It's a sacrifice of love. First fruits is to be, this is what God looks for, is the sacrifice of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And so we have this issue of this being a sacrifice. So first fruits is considered a sacrifice. It's considered a sacrifice of love, and it's considered a sacrifice of faith. And in the Old Testament, under the time of Moses, when the people were coming out of Egypt, going into Israel, the first fruits was considered a sign that they had believed God and had entered into His promises. It is a testimony of their faith in God's Word, and that they had entered into the land of promise, and this is my evidence. God says, bring the evidence from the land that you've entered into your possession. And if we transfer that over in the New Testament, this is really what we're worshiping God with the first fruits. And we're saying, we believe You. We've entered into it. And we're acknowledging that all things are Yours, and this belongs to You, and I'm not going to eat it. It's like that tree in the garden. It's not for me to be eating, spend it on myself, and spend it on anything else. It belongs to You. And so it is considered a sacrifice of worship, a sacrifice of love, a sacrifice of faith. And this is why God attaches special blessings on every kind of a love sacrifice. I'm not talking about just first fruits, folks. I'm talking about any kind of giving that's done out of love that God puts in your heart to help somebody, to do something for somebody. God honors that because that is considered an act of worship. You worship God when you give. You worship God when you help. You worship God when you do for a child of God. When you help a child of God maybe struggling or having a problem and you reach out a hand to help them. God sees that, He blesses that, and He receives that as worship. And every sacrifice of love receives its reward. God blesses that. Now, if you'll go with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 10, listen to what Jesus says. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our salvation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. And notice how Jesus explains some of the spiritual dynamics of the new covenant for the minister, or for the child of God, or for whoever. Because this kind of goes across kind of a blanket promise here. But listen carefully to what it says. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. God guarantees the reward on the love sacrifice. on the giving, whether it's first fruits or whatever it may be. God guarantees that if you'll be a blesser, God will bless you. If you learn to bless the way that God gives, it is a sacrifice. Jesus was a sacrifice. And your giving, whether it's first fruits or whatever, is really a sacrifice. God receives it as a sacrifice on your faith and a sacrifice of your love. Now, so we all always keep in mind what I read to you earlier from the prophet, that the Lord always honors those who honor Him. And this is why in the book of Deuteronomy, and you've heard me share this more than once, there were three books in the time of Jesus, and we know this from the archaeological discoveries and from the Essene writings. There were three books that were the most popular books during the time of Jesus. The book of Deuteronomy, the book of David's writings, and the book of Isaiah. And the reason for that, for Isaiah and David in particular, was because they spoke so much of the Messiah. Talked about the Messiah, about the Messiah coming. And the reason for Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy was the last will and testament of Moses. It was written at the end of the journey. Moses wasn't going into the Canaan land. God wasn't going to let him, but God was going to bring him on home. But that's when Moses began to write what's called the second law. He began to remind them. Do we need to be reminded, some folks, of where we come from? He began to remind them of their journey and how God had blessed them and how that their shoes didn't wear out and how that God, He did all kinds of interesting and odd things, even in judgment and even in rebukes. The love of God always stood behind that. He began to write and He began to remind them where they came from. And the Jews fell in love with that book. It is a wonderful book, folks. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said something very important about the ability to acquire the blessings of God, to never, ever forget that it is He who blesses you. Don't get wrapped up in the blessings, get wrapped up in Him. Now go to Deuteronomy 8, and I want you to see, I know you're all familiar with this pretty well, but because Jesus quotes from this in His temptation, if you remember, a man should not live by bread alone. And that's found in Deuteronomy 8. But I'm going to drop down a little further in Deuteronomy 8. And this is where God gave Moses instruction to give to the people about the land, to tell them never to forget where their blessings come from. Because, folks, we have a tendency sometimes. If you're not careful, God begins to bless the things you set your hand to. And if you're not careful, you begin to prosper in the blessing. Next thing you know, you start thinking a little strange. Well, it must have been my good business sense that did this. Yeah, that's what it was. I am just remarkably smart. And so what happens is they begin to forget, and next thing you know, you're not honoring God. Well, you used to honor Him with all your heart, with everything that you had. Next thing you know, you're kind of measuring out that honoring now. And you're squeezing that nickel until that buffalo hollers, right? Let me see. One of the questions I get on the Ask the Pastor forum sometimes is, what should I tithe on my gross or on my net? But what do you want to be blessed on? You want God to just barely bless you with some stuff, or you want overwhelming blessings in your life? I mean, it's kind of dumb, folks. Kind of a dumb question. Don't ask me, ask the Lord. Go to His Word and see what He tells you to do. I don't answer those kind of questions. I really don't. I think that's between you and the Lord. You settle that in your own heart with Him. Don't ask me. Not for me to tell you. Woo, got quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse number 15. He led you, and remember, this is Moses, sweet, holy man of God, fixing to leave the scene. You know, a dead man, when a man knows he's dying, the last thing that he says are going to be extremely valuable. So listen carefully. And the people are listening to what Moses is saying, what God spoke through Moses. So, verse 15, He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the flint of rock. Have you ever had God do amazing things for you? Have you ever had God answer your prayers in a phenomenal way? Have you ever had Him just suddenly, when you were blackness and you were against the wall, and you had no answer and you had a need, and that need just came and just met? Have you ever had that happen? What he's talking about. God is in your life. You know, you remember the old scripture that we always quoted for years when I was a younger preacher. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? And we all start fearing and trembling. Right. What's the problem with that scripture? You're only reading a half a scripture. You're only reading half a statement. The rest of that statement says, for it is God who is at work in you. both to work and to will for His good pleasure. God never leaves you. He's always involved in your life. Help to help us process life, to help us learn the ways of the Lord. He's not out there rebuking and cutting and making you feel like you're on some kind of tightrope. If you fall off, God's going to beat you up. Listen, folks, it's God who is at work in your life. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're His child. So Moses gives us these instructions. Let me read on a little further. In the wilderness, verse 16, He fed you with manna which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you, to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you might say where? In your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. I'm just vastly intelligent. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Well, they did. They perished off the land because they got into idolatry. But the point is that He said, God says, I'm giving you power to make wealth. Now, the term wealth can be a little bit misleading, folks, because we think of wealth, we think of only maybe dollars. But the Hebrew word actually carries the idea of producing something, accomplishing something. It talks about strength. God's going to give you the ability to accomplish things. This is what the Bible means, that He'll bless whatever you put your hands to. Psalm chapter number 1 talks about the man that's blessed of the Lord. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the sinful and the ways of the world. He doesn't do all. His delight is in the law of the Lord and in His law. Torah, folks, Torah does not mean law. It means instruction. The whole Bible is Torah. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all Torah. So, he meditates in the Torah of the Lord. In His law, in His Torah, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly fixed by the waters that produces its fruit in its season. This is what he's talking about here. This child of God that's honoring the Lord and loving God and doing what's right in God's sight, that he becomes like that tree firmly planted. And he's strong. And the thing that he sets his hand to, the thing that she sets her hands to, God breathes on it. God blesses in a special way. Why? Because this person never forgets where their blessings come from. Is this all right, folks? This is Bible. This is why it certainly is all right. So, one of the best examples we have of this, and I want to just mention this. I'll give you one scripture for it. In the New Testament, is compared between two churches. One of them is in the church that's in Corinth. The other are the churches that are in Macedonia. Now, Macedonia, northern part of Greece, was known for people of poverty. The whole region was a depressed area. Economically depressed, the people were very poor. The people in Corinth began to hear reports that all of a sudden the people in Macedonia, their lives are changing. God's blessing them. Their businesses are beginning to flourish. Wonderful things are happening in their life. And they're hearing these reports. So Paul writes Corinth and he says, yes, these reports are true. Let me tell you why. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians, you'll see what happened to these churches in Macedonia and why all of a sudden they begin to be blessed. And folks, I know you've heard this 100 times, but you cannot ever outgive the Lord. You just can't do it. You'll never be able to outgive Him. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, follow with me. I'm going to read down through here. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God that's been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, just listen to the language, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy, they joyfully did something, and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. That's the little lady. That little lady, folks, that was given that little bit of money in the treasury, guess who was watching her? The one she was giving it to was looking at her. The Lord God Almighty was watching that little lady, and He called His disciples to Him. He said, I want you to see a difference here. You need to understand this difference. He was talking about the difference of the heart and the difference of attitude. this little woman, look at what she's done. Now, he didn't say anything else about that, but can you believe that that little woman was especially blessed of the Lord? I was holding a revival in 1969 in Sulphur. And at the end of the meeting one night, a little lady who I knew was on Social Security, she was up in age, she came and she had a crumpled $5 bill in her hand. And she put it in my hand. And my first reaction was, I knew she needed that. And the moment I started to say something, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit rebuked me. And He said, don't ever do that. I want to bless her. And so I received her $5 and I took it. And I thank God for it. It wasn't a lot of money, folks. But her heart, it was in her heart. God put it in her heart. And she did a faithful thing to the Lord. And she gave it where He told her to give it. And you can believe that she was blessed out of that. And I learned a great lesson in that. Not only that, I must learn to be a giver and a helper and a blesser. But I must allow God's people to bless, not only just to bless me, but to see them bless one another and help one another and be good to one another. Because God blesses these are joyful sacrifices. They're wonderful operations of faith. They're called the sacrifice of love. And so, and I was a young preacher then. I'd already pastored for a while and I went to evangelize. And so I had to learn, and I'm still learning a lot, folks. Listen, you're looking at a preacher, and I'm learning some stuff every day. Amen. But I find out that information is not static information, folks. It's life. God wants us to learn to live and to live properly. So I have you in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I just read this. Let's finish reading what I had to start. Look at verse 3. But I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of what? Because the preacher got up there and preached they ought to be given and offering first fruits they begged. They were joyful. They rejoiced. And they gave beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord. And look at verse 4. Begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected. Paul didn't. They overcome. They overwhelmed Paul. Paul didn't expect this. He went by to talk to them in that region about what was happening in Jerusalem. The Jewish Christians, the Jewish believers were being persecuted. Their businesses were being shut down. They needed help. And here's these poor people that are probably poorer than the saints in Jerusalem. They're begging to help. And he said, not as we had expected, but they, look at this, they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Heart, soul, mind, body, pocketbook, whatever it may be. They just gave it. Said, Lord, here it is. You know, one day, I'm sure, I hope anyway, that one day when we all get to our new Jerusalem and to our heavenly country, that we'll get to, that God will explain to us all these testimonies. Maybe they'll get a chance to share with the thing that He did for the life. You can believe that God overwhelmed their life. Well, this is a report that's coming back to Corinth. Corinth was stingy. If you know anything about the history of the Corinthian church, don't ever name a church of Corinth. There was one here in the area several years ago that was called First Baptist Church Corinth. I think it changed their name after a while. Don't name your church Corinth, folks. But anyway, now pass over to chapter 9 of the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse number 6. Now this I say, and he's trying to give this church instruction. This I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You can tell what a person is when money comes in their house. Oh, they start watching out for the buzzers. Praise God. But then they start, if you're not careful, you'll have such control over that you really won't, with your heart, be able to release funds to the Lord like you should. Listen carefully. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will what? Will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he hath purposed in his heart. Can you purpose it in your heart? What he's saying. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. Don't do it because of the law of Moses. Do it because of the love that's in your heart. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you all... that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Then he quotes from the book of Psalms 112, about the righteous man and how that he gives. So we have here the issues of the sacrifices. So Paul tells us here that as a child of God, listen carefully, your blessings in life are are directly related to your giving. Jesus said the same thing. Give and it shall be given to you. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. You see, if we don't honor God, God doesn't honor us. Doesn't mean you're not saved, folks. It means you're going to have a lot of troubles in your life that you wouldn't have if you'd have made the decision to begin with. See, His mercy is forever. He forgives us. He forgives our sins. But there has to be a starting point. Sometimes you have to renew yourself. Lord, I need to renew myself to this. And He honors those who honor Him. And so, here we have, Paul explains it very carefully, that these people are being blessed because of their liberal spirit and their love to God and their desire to make sacrifices, and they did make sacrifices. So, let's come to the last area, and I'm only going to spend just a few minutes on this. This is the greatest question that could ever be asked. Where is my heart? Think about it. When I'm teaching today, did it affect your conscience a little bit? Did it stir up by ways of remembrance? Maybe how you first started your walk with the Lord and how that you honored Him? Is it like an examining glass that looks upon our hearts and it reveals what's in our hearts? You see, David, to me, gave us the model prayer to pray, at least the way he ended one of the Psalms. He said, "Search me, O Lord. Try me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any way of pain in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That is, help me to walk in ways that are pleasing to you. Help me to be a man that always honors you and do what's right." Can you see why God chose that man? When you read the book of Psalms, most of it was written by David, you begin to see why God chose him, because there was something in David. There was something about David's heart. Did he never make mistakes? He made too many of them, like we all do. Did he ever sin? Buku. Did he ever have problems? Did he ever have stumbling? He had lots of them. But there was something about David that was unique. And it had to do with his heart. When Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse, Bethlehem, to anoint a king to take the place of King Saul, he said, "Go to Jesse's house, make a sacrifice, have him bring his son." And you know the story. And this must have been a very handsome family. They were. They were all handsome, strong Hebrew men, strong working men, warriors. They were warriors. They fought in the army for Saul. And every time one of these big men would come by, a strong, handsome man, God said, no, I've rejected him. I've rejected him. And he said something special to Samuel. He said, "Samuel, God doesn't look at things the way men look at things. God looks at the heart." Can you say, "Father, forgive me. Forgive me for every way that I've messed up in this area." Right? Some of you folks are right now, God, dealing with your life on some issues of change. Say, "Father, forgive me. I've messed up. I've neglected to honor you." Well, he said, God looks at the heart. Now, the Bible says God chose David because David was a man after his heart. God looks in the heart. When David was about to die, before he died, he called his son Solomon. And he tried to teach Solomon, like every father should teach his son, how to serve the Lord. And mother teach the daughter, and then both can teach the children together. And he tried to instruct Solomon about his walk with God. And this, I'm just going to take you to a scripture I think you'll appreciate. Go with me for a moment. I want you to listen to what, if you go to 1 Samuel, go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First Chronicles 28, verse number 9. Now, David has been, he had assembled Jerusalem. He was addressing him about the temple. And God has spoke to him. But if you look at verse number 9, David talks to Solomon, his son. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. As being king, I'll cut you off. Are you listening to the message? This is a daddy trying to talk to his son and saying, "Son, listen, you've seen my life. You've seen my mistakes. You've seen my mess up. You've seen me multiply wives. You've seen the problems I had with all my children. You've seen the issues of my life. But one thing you've also seen in your daddy, that your daddy loves God. And he's tried to serve him the best that he could. And even in the midst of all his mistakes, you know that your daddy had a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Now, Solomon, I'm telling you something, son. You can have that relationship, but you're going to have to seek him with a whole heart, with all of your mind. Isn't that what Jesus said? The whole law and the prophets were based upon these two things. They all rest on two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. The secondly is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall not overlook your neighbor's needs. You shall not despise your neighbor. You shall help him. You shall help her. You shall try to bless them. He said, don't become a grudging person. Learn to honor the Lord. Love Him. Honor Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Do what's right in His sight. And be a man of mercy and a man that's full of love and compassion for those that are around Him. Now, He's not telling you that you've got to take care of somebody the rest of their life, because if that person doesn't start doing what's right, it's not your responsibility anymore. You understand? The Bible teaches that very clearly. But God wants us to be compassionate people and loving people. And so here we have David instructing Solomon, and he wanted to pass that on. Now, let me just, I'm going to end it here. In fact, I want to end it up in our text, but I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm sharing, folks. It's not simply about first fruits. I do this to teach our younger people, our newer people that are coming in. It's all about your heart. Where is your heart? God says, give me your heart. This is where we have to do an examination of our own heart. And that's what it's about. See, God's going to deal with you on one level, and it's on a heart level. And see, I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart. But God knows your heart. And He searches all hearts to give according to the intent. And this is why, as a child of God, you have such a tremendous benefit in that you can present yourself before the Lord. And you can begin to read and study His sacred writings. And in the process of doing that, there's a searching process that goes on inside of you. And you, a lot of times you need a cleansing from something, or you need a deliverance from something, or you need a healing from something. You need a correction in something. Next thing you know, the Lord can correct you without wounding you and can help you make an adjustment in your life. But God deals with you on one level, folks. On a heart level. He is not superficial, and He will never deal with you on a superficial level. He knows your heart, and that's why we need to ask the Lord to examine us. Lord, you know me. Amen. Well, let's close it out. Go back to Mark chapter 12, and I'm just going to close it with a reading here where we began. Listen carefully as I read it, and then I'll close and we can open it to any questions or comments or observations you may have. In his teaching, he was saying, beware of the scribes. Are there any scribes around today? Beware of them. They're pretenders. They're after your money. They're after your goods. Watch television, folks. You're going to see plenty of them. I'm telling you the truth. They're merchandisers. They're merchandising God's people. They're merchandising the houses of widows. It's exactly what's happening. They're always going to be with us. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. This is what they want, is what he's saying. He's not saying that any of these things are necessarily wrong as far as the banquets and all that, but he's saying this is what they want. They want that. Who devour widows' houses and for appearance sake offer long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. Their hell is going to be hotter than anybody's hell, folks. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And they were supposed to do that. And many rich people were putting in large sums. Isn't that wonderful when a rich person gives you a big gift? I think it's wonderful. Any rich folks here, give me a big gift. We'd do better than that. Just sign a check and don't fill it in. We'll pray about it and we'll fill it in for you. Smile, folks. I'm just funning with you. If anybody ever done that, I can promise you I wouldn't. That'd scare me to death. I'd either bring it back to you or I'd tear it up and throw it in trash. I'm not filling anybody's check. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. This is so important. What does Jesus do? It says, calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. Now see, this doesn't compute in the natural, does it? But it computes in the spiritual because we're dealing with the heart. For they all put in out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, and there's out of her need, put in all that she owned, all that she had to live on. And it leaves it there. It doesn't say anything else about it. It just says this is what happens. Well, I know what happened. I can't describe what happened. I can tell you that little woman was blessed more than them all. She was blessed. She loved God and she honored God. And there was God sitting looking at her. The one that she loved and the one that she wanted to honor was sitting right there. And he had Matthew write it down, make a record of it. I want you to see her heart. He said, this is what I want your heart to be. He's not telling you, folks, that you've got to take everything you've got and give it away. That's not the point. The point is the heart. Where is your heart in your walk with the Lord? Let's commit this to the Lord, folks. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit the ministry into your hands. Lord, nothing that I said has any value except it's in accord with your writings. And that you are the true teacher and you teach us your ways. There are a lot of spiritual truths that we need to realize, but you have to teach them to us. I can talk about them, but you have to teach us, Lord. And this issue of the first fruits and of giving, Lord, it is a great truth. We can never outgive. Father, thank you. Teach us to walk in your ways. We give honor to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to open it up for discussion. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment or share a testimony or revelation, I want you to feel free to do that. We want to get it on the mic because this goes over the internet. These services are broadcast live right now. Let me drop one more thought to you. Sometimes when you get into a place where things are not working right, especially tight in your finances or whatever it may be, I know this is going to sound kind of odd. If you'll look for something to give away that cost you, I'm not talking about some trashy thing, folks, something you would throw away anyway, but something that's good, something that's going to make a sacrifice. You see, David said, I will not offer sacrifice that doesn't cost me something. If you look for something to give away that you need, if you'll give it away, many times that will break something over your own life because you're giving out of your need. Can you say amen? And I'm talking about just giving to the preacher, folks, or even to the church. There ought to be somebody, though, that God puts on your heart. And God will put somebody on your heart. Give out of your need. And you can break that. That thing will break over your life. Amen? Do you want to ask anything or share a testimony or share a revelation or a thought? Or is your heart being dealt with too deeply? Doesn't this get down inside of us? Jesus said, lay not your treasures up on the earth where moth and rust destroy and corrupt. Lay up your treasures in heaven where the moth and rust can't get to it. But he said something else. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is heaven your treasure? Then you're going to begin sowing towards the heavenly things, kingdom things. If your treasure is yourself, you're going to use your money that ought to be first fruits to God. You're going to take your family out here, the rest of us, spend all that money on your eating and buying toys and buying this and buying that and not honoring God. That's exactly what you're going to do because you're going to feed it to yourself. Stop and think about where you are. What am I doing with what God has given me? Remember that tree in the garden? That's the only thing God asked Adam. Take care of that tree. Don't eat of it. It's my tree. I want you to learn about honoring me and loving me and have faith in me. Leave it alone. First fruits. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Don't leave me hanging, folks. Go ahead, Sister Elaine. Let's have that mic up first.
2 weeks ago, we've been teaching on the festivals of the Lord. You've been teaching on them. But I was just reminded this morning of, in Leviticus 23, that first fruits, it is Yeshua who was resurrected on the first fruit. But 70 days before first fruits, there was a particular field in Jerusalem that they would plant barley. It takes 70 days from seed to harvest for barley. On first fruits, the priest would go out and take one sheaf. If you don't believe me, look in Leviticus 23. One sheaf. And they would wave it. And they said, before we harvest this barley, this first one is for you, God. And they would wave it before God. And what a beautiful picture of him offering his very first and his very best. But a type and a shadow of us offering that first thing that comes in the first month of the spiritual year, the sacred year, the religious year. That was the instructions. Take that first sheaf that you get and offer it to God.
Amen. That's good, sis. Appreciate you sharing that. So it is a worship. You know, we don't take up offerings at Christian Child. You all know that. And if we have a special speaker, we will. But the reason we don't do that is two reasons. One, I'll just tell you about. One is that when people give here, I want you to give because you want to give and it's in your heart to give. And if you'll do it as worship, just use that box back there. That's between you and the Lord, and you're worshiping God. And you ought to worship God in your giving. You ought to consider that. When you put that envelope in that box, you ought to say, God, I'm worshiping you. I'm giving to you. I'm loving you. I'm not making, you know, we don't have everybody come marching up here and put. I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong, folks. It's wrong for us. And the second reason I said I wouldn't tell you, I will tell you. I needed the discipline of my own life as a young minister. God was teaching me some spiritual things that I was to never, ever look to people for my supply or support. That I was always to look to Him. That's not just for me, folks. That's for all of us. We learn to look to Him and not at somebody's pocketbook or somebody's position, thinking that they can take care of your needs. God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory, right, by Christ Jesus. Anyone else? Oh, go ahead, Sister Jeannie.
Brother Buddy, I had heard the other day on the radio they were doing a question. People were calling in asking this pastor things. And this one lady had called in and said that her and her husband were going to adopt a child from another country. And finances were rough, you know. And she asked this pastor, would it be okay if she took her tithing to use in the finances for adopting? And he told her yes, that since she would be bringing this child from a country over here and sharing the gospel with her. I didn't know if that was really set.
It wasn't good. That wasn't good counsel.
Yeah.
That was not good counsel.
I think so.
Tithing, not yours. They designate where it goes to begin with. Now, that would be an offering. There's nothing wrong with that. But the tithe, listen, folks, something about the tithe that you have, it's already God. You don't control where it goes. Now, in the new covenant, it belongs to the people of God, belongs to the house of God, belongs to the place where you worship God, and where you serve the Lord. It belongs to the flock of your appointment. And this is where it ought to go. If you want to give offerings, this is different. Don't call it a tithe. You can call it whatever you want to, but I'm suggesting don't call it a tithe. Tithe, not something. If you have control over, folks, it's not first fruit. It's not a tithe. Anything you have control over is not can't be a tithe. It can be an offering. You can offer it to whoever you will, whatever you want, but don't call it a tithe. The tithe is not yours to designate. Thank you, Sister Jeannie. I hope that helped a little bit. I don't think it was good counsel. Anyone else? Oh, Brother Mike.
Well, I want to repeat something I heard a man say one time, that to steal, or if you're a thief, is not the same as to rob. You know, shall a man rob God? If you steal something, you just go in and take it when there's nobody's there. But when you, we still have different laws for theft or armed robbery.
Yeah.
To rob somebody is face while in their presence, wrestle it or take it from them by force,
mm-hmm.
versus being a thief or stealing something. And we have stiffer penalties for that. Also, wanted to say that I find that the laws, spiritual laws, teaching about giving and sowing and reaping, guard a man's heart against greed. And can a man be a giver and greedy, or can you be a tither and a greedy man? You know, I always find that that law is for us to protect us from the pitfalls of wealth or income that draw us into those snares. If you honor God with it, it'll protect your heart from the greed that follows.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. You almost could quote scripture for what you said. You could quote scripture if you went to Malachi and said it in context. But also, Paul said that the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and many, by longing after it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Listen, folks, greed in the Bible is a form of idolatry. It is the love of money. It is the worship of money. And when you worship money, believe me, you're into idolatry. I mean, it's the most important thing in your life. And so this issue of tithing or first fruits really helps keep that area in balance. Where you have to be careful of where I said before in Deuteronomy 8, be careful. Because God's going to bless you. He always blesses. He promised to bless. He said he'd open the windows of heaven. He said, I'll bless you. He said, you won't even be able to contain it if you'll do it right. But what happens is when we start being blessed, if we're not careful, what happens? Well, I'm a very intelligent man. I'll write a book on how to do this. Your book's not going to sell, friend. He's in trouble already. Go ahead. Somebody else. Brother Eddie.
Brother Buddy, if you don't mind, you and Sister Betty, I would just like to tell the church about how the Lord used y'all to bless us with transportation. And we've been in need of an automobile, and by the grace of God, we was blessed with one through y'all. Now, I appreciate that very much. It's hard to explain, but anyway, the feeling is there, and I thank God for it.
Thanks. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I'm not the first person to ever done that. I thank God for that. That was the Lord's work, brother. But we've had cars given to us, and we've had people in this congregation that's given us cars, different ones, and I will always appreciate that. But see, this is what it's all about, to be able to give to need according to the movement of the Lord in your heart. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
I just wanted to share with everybody, last night we had our 4x4, but it turned into a 6x6. We had 12 people there, but anyhow, it was just I don't want to go into great details too much, but we, you know, pretty much there were 10 believers and 2 that to me are on a little bit different level, and I'll leave that one alone, but it was just some, you know, sweet family members that were there, and we got to witness the presence of the Lord there, and how everybody was ministered to, and I know you recognize it. It was, you know, we ate our food, and then next thing you know, there's a bunch of jibber jabber going on, and then there's like a big hush fell over the table, and then you were able, you know, some questions were asked. And Brother Buddy was just ministering, just boom, boom, boom. And I just this great awe fell over my heart that, you know, how in the world could we have put this together? And because we've been worried about these certain folks for a long time of hearing the gospel, the true gospel. And I was blessed last night to be a part of that. And I want to thank you for, and then, you know, just the grace of God. The Lord does it.
That was the Lord, right? That was the Lord doing. The Lord makes a way for the word to be heard. Amen. And I enjoy the coffee, though, too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Paul. That's sweet. Be a giver, folks. be a big giver. You know, honor the Lord, whatever that means to you. Find out what that means to honor the Lord. Nobody's after your money. God's after your heart. And when He gets your heart, guess what else He's got? You got that. I can anoint you billfold from now on. All you're going to have is an oily billfold, folks. Nobody's going to bless you because somebody anointed you billfold. God's going to bless you because you took something out of that and you did what was right. Right? Too many oily hands are being placed on empty heads and nothing's happening. The Bible calls for the obedience of faith. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's stand together, folks. Young folks are coming in. Now see, you got your annual message. How many of you want me to teach on it again? Not a hand went up. Everybody got it. Praise God. Oh, there's one over here. Bless your name. Let's worship. Let's just worship. We worshiped in the beginning with our songs of Zion and Thee. We worship in here in our hearts. Listen to God's voice, to the reading of His Word, the expounding of the Scriptures. He's examined us today. We've been under an examination, right? Some of you are making good decisions. Some of you are just rejoicing to be a part. Little as much. I love that chorus. Thank you, Jesus.
In the heart.
Thank you, Lord.